Well, most people know her as Princess Leia, perhaps, but Carrie Fisher's hardly a one-hit wonder. She was a real Hollywood princess, and then played a fictional outer space princess on film. But Carrie Fisher's also a best-selling author. She's written screenplays, she's spoken at conventions about rehab, and she's now something of a stand-up comedian. Her newest project is a personal biopic. It's the HBO film called Wishful Drinking.
Do you remember that white dress I wore all through the first film? Unless you didn't see Star Wars, in which case, why are you here? So they put the dress on me the first day. They bring me to George. Takes one look at me and he says, you can't wear a bra underneath that dress. So I say, why? He says, because there's no underwear in space.
Sounds like a great title for another book. The film is based on her hit one-woman show that uses the same name, Wishful Drinking. It premiered last night on HBO. Carrie Fisher joined us last week, and we asked how George Lucas knows whether or not underwear exists in space.
He said there was, and I didn't wear a brassiere. I think in
he
any
won
of
that
the,
argument. Then
he did win it. Yes, I don't like wearing bras generally, though.
Oh, okay.
So I find them uncomfortable. Yeah, I don't think I've ever really worn a bra.
It was working for me and the boys back in Grand Rapids,
good.
Michigan.
Well, let's talk about wishful drinking. You mentioned, I mean, some of the things that you mentioned there are things that most people would know. You talk about your grandmother locking your mom in the closet. And can you tell that story again, what your mom does when she's locked in the closet?
She asked my grandmother for a glass of water. My grandmother, you know, said, why? And my mother said, because I've spit all over your dresses, and now I've run out of spit, and I want to spit all over your shoes.
The show itself it's not really revelatory. Most of the things you talk about there, if not almost all of them, are things coming out of the headlines, things people can read in tabloids. But what it really was your reacting to headlines. And this seems like you looking back and saying, this is what I was going through when this is what you saw in the newspaper.
Yes, I mean, you know, it's sort of an archaeological dig. Even though you know celebrities aren't different than, you know, everyone knows that. But I think on a certain level, no one believes it.
That's probably true.
So, well, why else are we still watching and waiting to see what they're going to do?
Well, in some ways, it must be safer to be an archaeologist of your life than to actually be in your life sometimes.
It's all the time safer, and it's all that makes it funnier.
Yeah,
but you know, one of the celebrity is one of the things you touch on often in your show, and you say that people don't believe celebrities are normal people. But one of the things you talk about is that celebrity is America's royalty, and
yes.
And you go back on it, your reflections on celebrity itself. That even though your family may be white trash, you guys are blue blooded white trash because of. That you guys are famous. And I'm wondering how your ideas of celebrity have changed, or maybe they haven't, since growing up and it was normal in your family to have all that
attention. Extraordinary was my ordinary. So then anytime someone says, you know, what's it like to grow up with celebrity parents, I don't know.
Yeah.
Was that what those people were? No wonder. I mean, you know, I have nothing to compare it to. So I, you know, the stuff that's different is... probably my parents are better looking than most people.
Yeah, right, and
parents.
Better hair. Fabulous.
Really,
nice
my father had a lot of good hair.
You know,
my mother doesn't have great hair.
Really?
Keeping the wig on.
Right. Oh,
made...
there you go.
Oh.
There you go. As an archaeologist.
Yes, sir.
Of yourself, and as a commentator on the culture of this tribe called celebrity. Let's have a shout out here for some people who might be in a similar predicament from you, say a generation from now. The Pitt Angelina Jolie children.
Oh.
Advice for them along the circuitous path through everything that, you know, their public lives are going to be.
Well, there's a lot of them, and that's good.
That's good.
No, it really is.
Yeah.
I mean, not a lot of people can say, yeah, we were just chased by the paparazzi or... And what you want to do as a kid is fit in. They can talk to each other about it.
Would you advise them to stay out of show business?
I would. I would say show business meaning acting, stay out. But, or what I did, do it as a hobby. Do not make it your only job. Because you'll spend your whole life talking about your parents.
Well, you spent your whole life talking about Princess Leia. Mm-hmm. And you've spent your whole life with kind of this shadow Carrie Fisher equals Princess Leia. And people, you even say in the show that people relate to you as this fictional character and hold you accountable for...
For Leia's foibles?
Yeah.
Actually, I thought Leia behaved really well.
She did well.
But I mean, maybe there's some outtakes where I killed some Ewoks or something, but it was an accident.
Perfect hair in that garbage compressor.
Was that an evolution too, your attitude towards accepting?
No, that was always funny. I mean, if that's a problem, it is nosebleed high class. Because, you know, I got to travel, I got to play on a big toy set and shoot guns, and it's an amazing experience. I had lessons from some New York policemen on how to shoot guns, because in the first film I flinched and they wanted me to look like, you know, I shot guns, you know, all I did was shoot people.
Can't flinch or anything. Well, I just love it. And, you know, there's George Lucas as Yoda telling you at an early age, there is no underwear in space, Carrie.
That's right. He didn't give a lot of direction, but it was that we were very, very serious.
Wow.
And which is how the only way I could handle that kind of, I thought I recognized your foul stench when I arrived on board. Say that real. So my thing was to say it like this. Oh my God, I got on board this ship and I thought, what is that smell? Oh my, it's gotta be Tarkin. That guy stinks to high heaven. When actually Peter Cushing smelt like lavender.
Aww.
And he wore gloves so that he wouldn't get nicotine on his fingers.
You rebellion guys stink. I don't know. Actually,
no,
you Empire guys
Empire.
Stink. Yeah, you Empire
yeah,
guys
well,
stink.
Well, those were, and any time I had to talk, there was that such arch dialogue. I have placed information vital to the survival of the rebellion to the memory system of the Zarchi unit. You say that.
I can't say that.
There you go. See, that's
my
archaeology.
And
by the way, you don't want to say it.
Whoa.
Carrie Fisher is the stars in a new HBO film based on our one-woman show. It's called Wishful Drinking. Actress, screenwriter, best-selling novelist, fictional outer space princess, real-life Hollywood princess. Carrie Fisher, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And we actually have a bonus extra at our website, and it's an extended conversation with Carrie, and we talked about her with her last week. That's at thetakeaway.org. While you're there, we've gotten a few comments from our listeners who watched the documentary last night. Cindy in Walnut Creek, California said, loved the show. Carrie was funny and deserves the respect of kind comments. She's earned them. Ken from Oregon says, Carrie knows you don't stay young forever and didn't pretend she had. If you've suffered yet in life, her work rings very true and funny and pretty sick. Go, Carrie. If you have something to add, head over to thetakeaway.org. Her one-woman show is called Wishful Drinking. It premiered on HBO last night. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I love that line, nosebleed high-class problem, growing up in her family. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.